I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, how can a fictional character be so famous and yet so misunderstood? We explore the evolution of Uncle Tom as part of NPR's In Character series. But first, America continues to confront the legacy of slavery more than a century after it ended. On Tuesday, the House of Representatives formally apologized to African Americans for slavery and the legalized racism of the Jim Crow era. This historic resolution was sponsored by Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee, a Democrat. He called it the starting point for an honest dialogue about race in America. Congressman Cohen joins me now to talk more about this. Welcome, Congressman. Thank you for speaking with us.
Nice to be with you, Michelle.
Why now?
Well, because this was the time that we were able to do it. I desired this to be done by President Clinton and wrote him back in 1997. He didn't pursue it. And when I was elected to Congress, I went through my letters and saw that letter where I encouraged him to have an apology for Jim Crow laws and slavery. And I thought, hey, I'm a congressman. I can do this myself. So I came up. I introduced it as my first proposition in February. We tried to get the Senate to go along with us. It would be bicameral. These negotiations where Tom Harkin was my sponsor broke down 2 weeks ago. And at that point, I said, let's go ahead and just do it as a House resolution because the Senate had problems with language going back and forth. Chairman Conyers put it on the agenda for this week. And even though I thought maybe it'd be better to do it in September, my staff felt like he had a chance to have it heard. It's been 143 years. So we went forward on yesterday.
Now, you represent a majority African-American district in Tennessee. You are not African-American yourself. Were you hearing the need for an apology from your constituents?
I know that there are ramifications that I see in my district because of Jim Crow laws and slavery as well. I see it. I hear from people in the district who have talked about other issues. And I, as a young man, saw the segregated South, segregated theaters, segregated restaurants, ball fields where the African Americans had to sit in the left field bleachers or the worst seats at the football stadium. Or, you know, only have us at certain seats for the wrestling matches, et cetera, et cetera. I just think it's a stain on our society. I've seen states which have apologized. I've seen Tony Blair express regret. And I felt like it was something the United States ought to do. I'm a history major. I think history is important. I think statements are important. And I wanted to pursue it. And I'm proud that I did.
You were also in a tough reelection campaign. Did that have something to do with it?
Not that tough. I hope you report on it next week. We're going to win at least 2-1. It's not even tough. We've polled. It's a laydown. But I'm fighting to the end, and I'm not quitting because that's the way I run. They say run unopposed or scared. But I'm telling you, it's going to be at least 2-1. It's not tough.
Now, there's always an interesting, this whole question of apologies for slavery has been so much discussed this year. A couple of states like Virginia and New Jersey have passed slavery apology resolutions, but opinion has divided. Some say that, you know, apologies are insufficient, that really more concrete measures need to be taken. But other people say that let sleeping dogs lie. You're picking at an old sore. Why do that? How do you assess what are often competing sentiments within the same district?
Well, you know, I see both racism racism in the black community, people that say a white man can't represent black people. I mean, I've heard that, and that's been spoken at public meetings, and I've seen that. And I've seen people make that, and I've seen white people who are just as racist in an opposite manner about African-Americans or about me. And it's interesting how any issue I take up, I get attacks from both sides, and blacks might say, some African-Americans might say it's pandering, and some whites will say something similar, but in less attractive terms, even if there could be something less attractive mentally than pandering, but they're more figurative, I guess. And so I see it. There's a problem in the country, and I just think you need to do the right thing and try to bring people together, and that's what I've done with my public service. I've been in office 30 years, 24 as a state senator, a couple as a county commissioner, and been up here, and it's what I've tried to do and what Memphis needs and what the country needs.
How does an apology bring people together, in your view?
It's a catalyst. It's a statement, a catalyst. People can take it from there. My hope is that it's a catalyst for a broader discussion of the problems that I see in my district, I think, that are in most inner cities, and there's problems, of course, in rural areas as well, but many African-Americans are in inner cities. Inner cities are hurting, and there are more African Americans without health care, and I'm on John Conyers' bill for national single payer health insurance. There are more African Americans with a need for help with colleges, and I've provided Hope Lottery scholarships in Tennessee. That was a one-man job for 20 years. We have a lottery scholarship program that gives people...
No, I understand that, sir, but I'm just wondering, how does an apology help revisit or refresh these conversations? Because I think the argument a lot of people would make, it isn't that we've had these conversations. We're having the same old conversation, and that people can't sort of get out of their rut in how they think about this to the degree that they're still interested at all. How does it revive conversations a lot of people don't seem to want to have anymore?
Well, some people don't want to have, but I think it's good to have dialogue. I think I've learned more and more about what the causes of problems have been with the effects of Plessy versus Ferguson. Brown versus Board of Education didn't cure everything in 1954. That was an opinion. It took time for that to help. And there's still problems, though, because there were secondary schools that the teachers had come from with lesser books and lesser laboratory materials. This went on for years, and it's perpetuated over years. I think that a dialogue is important. I think people can get a better understanding, and I think to get votes to do things to help with health care, to help with education, to help with job training programs, to help with inner-city housing and all those things, you have to have Congress people who will vote for it and have Congress people vote for it. The dialogue has to be such that they understand that there's a need and the basis for the need.
All right. Congressman Steve Cohen represents the 9th District in Tennessee. He's a Democrat. He joined us by phone. Congressman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Nice to talk to you, and it's great to represent the fighting 9th in Memphis.
All right. And you can read yesterday's apology in its entirety on our website. You can go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org.